Angel hearts are aflutter. Stephen Mayne's just walked in. That long, long man who unravels himself, sits in the chair and decides he's going to demystify the entire financial crisis for us in, not even 25 minutes. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Libby.
Happy New Year.
And a happy new year to you. It was looking pretty happy for a while there. We had a little recovery over the silly season. The stock market went up 10%. Credit was flowing. We were all talking about maybe the worst is over. And here we are back in the studio and we're back in the thick of a shocker.
Today market. Wasn't a good day, was it?
Oh, well, look, Wall Street has fallen 6 days in a row for a 9%, and we've just done a 4% hit in one day. Unemployment figures, credit card growth figures, the American retail figures were absolute shockers, and all this talk about banks needing money, banks going broke, Bank of America needing a bailout, Deutsche Bank last night lost $6.3 billion, Citigroup, world's biggest bank, looks like it could be going under again and is now worth less than Westpac, would you believe? So, hate to be the bearer of gloom, but back in the studio and it's all bad news.
Okay, so let's just go through bit by bit things that have happened today. You okay with that?
Sounds good.
Some things that I really wanted to ask you about. For instance, Ford deciding they would no longer finance their own car sales yards. Now, obviously, the slack can be picked up by local financing entities. But the question is, do companies like Asanda, St. George, whatever, do they have the capacity to actually pick up the slack, the refinancing slack?
Well, that's the national challenge, because we have $1 trillion of household debt, close to $1 trillion of foreign debt, and it's a credit-constrained world, and we need to borrow $60 billion a year to maintain our lifestyles. There is a shortage of foreign credit to be shared around Australia, and Ford Credit pulling out is just another example of fleeing foreign financiers. So we're seeing it everywhere. The foreign banks are running, and there is a sense of nationalism going all over the world at the moment. All the big international banks are selling out of Bank of China because they're taking their money home. So there's that going on. We have four of the strongest banks in the world. I was just running the numbers before. Our big four banks tonight, even after $10 billion's been wiped off them today, tonight they're still worth $157 billion between them. And they're going to make many billions of dollars of profit this year. So we have four of the probably 10 strongest banks in the world. And they do have the capacity to pick up the slack. They've already agreed to put in $2 billion to replace the previously departing and fleeing foreign financiers in GE and GMAC, and that was with a government guarantee of $2 billion. And just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, the big four banks have borrowed about $30 billion offshore using the government's guarantee. So our big four banks are able to access capital. But a lot of other people can't. So our state governments can't raise a dime at the moment.
Right.
Because everyone's just going, well, big four banks, they're strong, they're government guaranteed, they're doing all the money raising. And so I think that $30 billion they've raised will end up financing the cars that were previously funded by Ford Credit.
So also does this government guarantee and the fact that offshore banks are pulling out in droves and placing the emphasis back on local entities, does that therefore mean that the share price of those local entities will remain strong? Are we propping up the banks in that respect as well?
Well, what the banks are basically doing is they've tended to pass on most of the benefits of the big 300 basis point cut in official interest rates to homeowners. They've taken a little bit of margin, but they've passed most of it on. But they are really ripping off their corporate customers. So they are doing a whole bunch of refinancings at the moment and they are jacking up rates.
Really?
So, you know, big companies like Transfield or Oz Minerals, which is suspended, and Centro and Babcock and Brown, which is suspended. Centro was suspended again today. They're all in negotiations with their banks. The foreign banks won out, and the Aussie banks who stick around and a few foreigners who stay are all charging fatter margins. So the banks are actually making a lot more money from their corporate clients that are profitable.
Their international corporate clients or their...
Oh, more their local,
their
corporate,
local
clients,
corporate clients.
But equally, they're also writing off more bad debts. So in the case of Commonwealth Bank, their bad debts were only $500 million for the whole year 2 years ago. And this year, they're going to be about $2.5 billion. So they're suffering losses because people are going broke. And that's the question, is can they make more money from charging wider margins from those that don't go broke to make up for the losses for those that do go broke? And also they are having to pay a bit more for their foreign debt. So all those bonds, the $30 billion they've been issuing, It's been costing them sort of more than traditionally what they've paid offshore, and they will try and pass that on. But overall, our banks are strong. I still do think they'll need to raise probably another $10 billion in this year in capital because they're having to do all the heavy lifting. I mean, if you've got to take on literally hundreds of billions of dollars of foreign debt, which is fleeing, you need capital to actually be able to grow your balance sheet to do that. So you can, if you have equity in a bank, you can lend it 10 times. So if you've got $10 billion of new equity in the bank, that can do $100 billion of loans. So they've already raised close to $10 billion, our big banks, but I think there will be some more, and that's putting a bit of pressure on their share prices because people at the moment are sick of writing out checks to recapitalise Australian-listed companies. I mean, you get things in the mail every second day asking for money from you for a shareholder at the moment.
Well, you do.
Well, I've got the world's biggest small share portfolio, 700 stocks, so, yeah, I'm constantly...
Listen, Stephen, I've got another question that I want to ask you, just from, you know, from around the top end of town. I was hearing stories that... with the housing market moving there now, with some people who have foregone on their mortgages, that when the banks are actually taking the keys back and the mortgage and the title back, they're not actually flooding the market with these houses because they don't want to push the price of the housing market, down. So they're allowing people to stay in their houses, perhaps charging them rent, which maybe those people can't afford to stay there, but just to keep the houses off the market so there isn't a glut. Is there any truth or sense to this story?
I would say that it is applicable right across all asset classes. So, for instance, if you look in shopping centres, the banks have decided not to put Centro under because they didn't want to suddenly have to flog 100 shopping centres across Australia. So the banks are being left with control of assets because people are walking away, they can't do their financing. It's not very bad in housing at the moment. Like, there has not been a big amount increase in foreclosures. I think it will come, but it hasn't happened. But I think the fundamental reason that the housing market is holding up reasonably well is that we're 20,000 houses a year short on what we need, and there's acute rental shortages. And unlike the Americans, who've got too many houses, they had too big a housing construction boom, we've got a population boom. So the two things you're seeing in property at the moment are you're seeing luxury property, holiday houses, ski lodges getting flogged, and they're plunging because mm-hmm. they're luxury items. But your regular, you know, $500,000 house in the suburbs is holding up reasonably well. And we've seen it in the new finance figures. A lot of people are taking out new home loans because the government's throwing grants and subsidies at them. Interest rates are near record lows. So if you've saved 50, 60 grand or 100 grand and you want to buy a house, it's better to buy a house now than rent.
And so tell me, is that going to push the prices up, given that the government home grants have, like, tripled since
they came in? Well, I think you've had a bubble. You've had a ridiculous housing bubble where, you know, even the rents were only yielding you probably, what, 2% or 2.5%. So we had a ridiculous housing bubble, but I think what will happen is we won't have a crash like other markets have had because the interest rates have come down. Like, think about it. Australian householders are saving $30 billion a year on their mortgages because of the cuts in interest rates over last year, from 7.25 to 4.25 on the official rate. I reckon they'll do another percentage point next month, and that'll cut them to 3.25%. The banks won't pass them all on, but we are saving tens of billions on our loans, and that means it is more affordable. And you can, you know, lose some money in your business, lose some money on the stock market, and your mortgage is falling, and so you can afford to pay for it. In commercial property, shopping centres, and particularly office towers and hotels, very different story, absolute disaster, and you are seeing massive discounts in share prices and big increases in vacancies. And I think the real pain in property is going to be in the commercial sector, not so much the housing sector.
Stephen Mayne is your guest in the studio, share market activist, man who can demystify all things financial. We'll be talking more to Stephen in a moment. It is coming up to 5:45.
One day international cricket. It's the short form of the long game.
I thought it was the long form of the short game.
Cricket's on the radio.
JP Duminy under it. Oh, a brilliant catch.
Unbelievable.
Taking on the throw. That's a hurry. I don't know whether he's got home. It's a photo finish. Full toss. That's gone for six, I think.
Australia take on South Africa. Live from the MCG tomorrow.
On 774 ABC Melbourne.
Call now on 1300 222 774.
Libby Gore.
SMS 19774 774.
Libby Gore.
On 774 ABC Melbourne.
Stephen Mayne, share market activist. financial wizards in the studio to demystify some of the things that people like me find slightly complicated. Stephen, actually, will you take some calls, Stephen, if we...
Oh,
yep, 1-300-222-774 if you would like to ask a question of Stephen. Rio Tinto, what is that going to do? I know that we're no longer, BHP is no longer looking at merging with Rio Tinto, but with the resignation of the chairman, is this a big deal? Does this signal something bigger, Stephen?
Yes, well, Rio Tinto have done a couple of things today. They've announced their fourth quarter production figures, showing things like iron ore down 18%, closing more aluminium smelters, a loss of jobs. But they've also moved on their chairman, who will be going in April, who's an English chap called Paul Skinner. And they're actually bringing in a new guy from completely outside. So they had 10 directors who presided over this, hey, chaps, let's borrow $40 billion US and buy Alcan in Canada. Mm-hmm. Then let's tell BHP to nick off when they're offering us a great price. And, BHP's gone away and our share price has halved. And this is a disaster and suddenly we're in debt crisis. So their board is shot and they've brought in an outsider, a guy called Jim Leng, to be the new chairman. He'll take over after what I'm expecting will be a very hostile AGM in Sydney on April 20. I've already booked the flights for that one, so $200 return if you book early. And so you will see quite a lot of stories like this, the accountability stories where companies have gone into disasters because of the credit crisis, most notably companies that did big takeovers at the top of the boom. And there was no bigger takeover than Rio Tinto paying $38 billion US, $40 billion US for a Canadian aluminium company, which would probably be worth $5 billion now. So it's a bit of a blunder, and some shareholders are looking for a bit of board accountability, and same with the CEO. So that was an interesting story, and I guess it ties in with another point I was going to mention to Libby, which is in February we're going to see, I think, the biggest amount of losses declared in Australian corporate history. So right now we have a whole bunch of companies chatting with their auditors and saying, Mr. Auditor, do you think we can still say that, you know, this plant is worth $100 million, and the auditor will say, no, I think it's probably worth $50 million. I think we should take a write-down. Because the market is telling us that your share price is only worth about half what we sign the books to say they are worth. And there are many, many companies like that, the best example being Wesfarmers, which paid $20 billion for Coles at the top of the boom, or almost $20 billion. They sign their accounts saying they're worth $20 billion overall, yet the market today says they're worth about $10.5 billion. So there's a missing $9 billion there. So if Wesfarmers were being honest, they'd come out and say, whoops, paid a bit much for Coles, people aren't shopping as much, here's a $9 billion loss to get down to market. But will they do it? Will their auditor force them? That is the question.
Stephen, we solicited for calls for you, but of course, you know, the ABC can't give advice of a specific nature and you must always seek independent professional advice. Stephen is merely here as a muse. He cannot be held responsible for anything he might say, but it is interesting to use him as a little bit of a bouncing board for thoughts, and that's what Andrew wants to do. Hello, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Libby. What a great show. Very excitement to ABC for Afternoons for a Change.
Great. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
And you, Stephen, you're doing a great job there. Stephen, it's really... really good advice, yeah. But anyway, I reckon that, this is my personal view, I reckon you should be, if you've got a spare bit of cash, I reckon you should be buying shares like the bank shares and so maybe Rio Tinto. What do you reckon?
No, I wouldn't be buying Rio Tinto because they've got too much debt. And, I mean, who knows, they could go to zero. Anything which has got a lot of debt.
What about bank shares?
Bank shares are the one thing I'm not buying at the moment. I think that other companies, you know, BHP and companies that don't have too much debt, CSL or these sort of companies are worth buying because they've been so beaten up. But I wouldn't be buying bank shares because I think there is a risk that we're going to see big increase in unemployment, housing prices come down, and our banks writing off $20 billion in 1 year in bad debts because we're a highly indebted nation. And if that happens, they can't keep on paying out more than $10 billion a year in dividends. Then their share prices fall by 20, 30%. So I think I'd be steering clear of banks, but I think other shares, I agree.
Still resources, Stephen?
Quality resources. Some gold stocks maybe, yes, BHP. But anything with too much debt, just be nervous because we are in an unprecedented credit crunch and all the foreign banks are fleeing. And if Oz Minerals, which was worth $12 billion a few months ago, is suddenly in a debt crisis when everyone thought it was meant to have, you know, hundreds of millions of cash, well, can you believe anything anymore?
Thanks so much for your call. Here's an SMS, Stephen, asking if it's a good time to buy residential investment houses or units. In your humble opinion?
No. I think that property, there has been a bubble in Australia and it hasn't burst. As I mentioned, the supply fundamentals before. But I think that my personal view, I think housing will come off 10 to 15% from here. My advice would be to wait another 6 to 12 months before, certainly from investment purposes. If you really want to buy a house, well, then, yeah, look, I think I'd be looking now. But it could come off a bit from here.
William has is on the line. He's got a question for you about the Aussie dollar, Stephen. Hello, William.
Yeah, hi. Stephen, why is the Australian dollar so low compared to the American dollar when the American dollar has so much debt and, you know, our economy seems to be, you know, not so bad compared to other economies?
Well, we rely on borrowing $60 billion a year off the rest of the world. So we're, you know, we have a big current account deficit. So the rest of the world looks at us and says that we're high risk because we're debt dependent and we're a commodity economy. And commodity prices have crashed. We'll get $40 billion less in income from our coal and iron ore probably in a year from now. And so our income's plunging. Our federal government will go into deficit. And that's why the world is pricing us lower, because we're not going to keep getting ridiculous boom prices for our commodities.
Thanks, William, for your call. And a call from Peter in Coburg. Hello, Peter.
G'day. I've got a $3,000 holding in Centro that's just built over up over years. And I received a letter recently about joining a class action. I'm just wondering if Stephen thinks it's worth it for that holding or whether I should just opt out.
Look, I've got a conflict there, Peter. I'm actually in negotiations at the moment about getting on the Centro board. I got a big vote at the AGM last year, so I'm talking to the headhunter and I'm trying to tell the class action people to go away. So my advice as a friend of Centro would be...
ask someone else.
Tell the ambulance chasers to nick off. You
ask someone else. Thanks very much for your call, Peter from Kovac. I love it when life collides on the radio. Oh, hello, Trent.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thank you. Just a quickie.
Yeah, just I've just seen on a few of the financial news wires in the last sort of week that ExxonMobil, with about $40 billion US in cash, is eyeing off perhaps one of the major European oil companies, if Stephen thinks there's much merit in that and whether that'd sort of be possible.
Oh, look, I think anyone who's got lots of cash, whether it's BHP or ExxonMobil, is looking at beating up rivals that are suffering with too much debt. ExxonMobil's the biggest, strongest, toughest oil company in the world, so they would probably be looking to buy diamonds in the rubble, as they say.
Thanks so much, Stephen, for that. Thank you, Trent, for your call. Stephen, you know Sam, obviously.
Hello,
Sam.
Good to
see you, Sam. Sam, do you know about the tram?
I do know. Yes, I do know about the tram.
Tell us about the tram.
A tram stuck at Spencer Street due to a faulty pantograph. Yeah, that's the bit that connects the tram to the overhead wires. Mm. Power's out in the area, which is disrupting the following routes, 86, 30, 24 and 55.
It was on fire.
Apparently, sparks and stuff.
How exciting.
Diversions are in place and they've got shuttle trams running either side of the tram that's stuck. The Western Ring Road's very heavy eastbound after a multi-car crash near Pascavale Road. It's down to one lane and there's delays. Nearly an hour, 55 minutes from Greensboro to Altona. Westbound, it's also slow, 40 minutes total trip. The Monash is heavy outbound, 40 minutes from Kingsway to Jackson's Road, and the traffic lights are still on flash at Abbotsford. They will be out until midnight, so choose another way home if you can. Hoddle Street's down to two lanes in both directions, and traffic's very heavy.
Thank you, Sam Stainer.
Thank you.
Stephen Mayne, we haven't got much time, but is there any further little snippet of gold that you wish to share?
I'll just look out for the big write downs in February. The likes of Fairfax, Babcock could be well over $1 billion for many companies.
And what will that mean for us, mums and dad shareholders?
Well, it just means that the companies are admitting that the world has changed and that they're no longer worth double what the current market is.
Do you think the inauguration of Obama is going to put a fillip into the market, or you don't think it's going to have an effect?
Look, the economic news is so bad that I think it's going to be very tough, but they're optimistic, that's for sure.
Stephen Mayne, as always, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Libby.